now that you're here.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful for this privilege to assemble together in thy name, in the name that you gave your Son, our Lord Jesus, in the name that you gave the whole host of heaven, the whole family in heaven. Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us, O God, to get ready for the rapture. Help us to get focused upon thee and thee alone, O God. No matter what happens to the left, what happens to the right, may our focus be upon thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to pick up at paragraph 121, where Brother Brown said, not responsible for one person. One person. No matter who you are, he's not responsible out from under it. And remember, all the family was brought together. Oh my. Oh. Remember, you say, well, my daddy's a preacher. My brother, my pastor. My. Well, that might be true. But what about you? Remember, only safe when the token was displayed. If a man under here and his son across the street, he was in danger. He would perish. His daddy would be safe. Or if the son was over here and the daddy was over there, his daddy would perish. Only the token. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. That's the only thing. You say, well, my son's a preacher. Your mother say, I got the best boy or the best girl. I tell you, they're the sweetest thing. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit with such love. They're obedient. I never seen. Well, what about you, Mama? You say, well, my mother's the sweetest thing. I know if she dies, she's going to heaven because she's really got the token, Brother Branham. But what about you? Says, the whole family must be brought under it. Very sobering words, but this is a sobering time. From what shall I do with Jesus? Brother Brown said, if we disbelieve it willfully, after the truth has been presented to us, there will be no more mercy. No more mercy will be granted. Pastor, listening to this tape, what about it? Member of the church, listening to this tape, what about it? Are you going to do, if we disbelieve it willfully, can't wash it off your hands. You can't pass it on to the headquarters. It's going to backfire right back to you. You've heard it. What about you? What are you going to stand in that day? He's either on your hands or in your heart. One or the other. God help us. Now, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking in the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now we've used this quote many, many times. And Brother Branham said from expectation, he said, now God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by the experience of the new birth and the only alone. Jesus said, except a man be born of the Spirit of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, any Bible scholar here knows that that word see there does not mean to look with your eyes. It means to understand. You say, well, I looking at something or other, you say, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You're looking right at it. You look with your eyes, but understand with your heart. That's right. You can't understand it, and no man can know nothing of God until first he is born of the Spirit of God. The Bible said no man can call Jesus the Christ. Only by the Holy Spirit is the only thing that. And you can say, well, I believe that he's the Son of God. If you haven't been born again, you're taking somebody's word for it. You say, well, the Bible said so. That's right. The Bible's right. But what about you? You say, the preacher said so. The preacher's right. But what about you? Mother said so. Mother's right. But what about you? It's a personal experience of your own that you've got to be born again or you'll never understand God. I believe with all my heart, this is the main problem we've had in Christianity. That's why you see so many isms. That's why you see so much loose living. That's why you see people are living after the world, because they have not been born again. Now, they can say Jesus is the Christ because from a little child they've been taught. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Redeemer. And Dad might have been right. Dad might have been born again, but what about you? Mom might have been born again, what about you? The preacher might have been born again, what about you? In other words, if you're saying it because you've been taught it, but it isn't from the Holy Ghost, it's from your intellectual. And this is where we need to get to our knees more than ever before and make sure that we're not just seeing things on an intellectual level, that we're actually seeing things on a God level. And that we have actually, we're seeing it because it's actually living itself in us. Because if we're just depending on, well, Brother Branham said it, so I believe, therefore, it's, you know, God said it, God thought it, the prophet said it, and I believe, and that settles it. Well, but until God quickens it in you and makes it come alive in you, you're just saying, well, he was vindicated, so I'll believe what he said. That still doesn't mean you got it. You understand? He said, well, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, or he that is spirit-filled, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judging no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Then what about you? What about me? What about those people who know that they should be living for God and won't do it? They know that we're at the end time, and yet they continue to live any old way they please. Do you think they will get by with it? I don't think so. These people are just storing up wrath against the day of wrath, and their judgment is not far off, for the days are getting shorter, and the clock is getting closer and closer to the great depression that will strike this world. And since they have not been storing up their treasure in heaven, the only real safe haven for treasure, that they will most certainly lose everything that they've worked for, and when the banks fail, and when the economy fails, and when the supply lines fail, and no man can buy or sell unless he has taken the mark of the beast, what are you going to do then? Jesus said in Luke 12:33, sell what you have and give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. Now notice that the unbelief of the people would not allow this power, the power of God to work in Nazareth. Remember, Jesus went to Nazareth, and the Bible says he could do no miracles because of their unbelief. Not because of his, because of their unbelief. The power of God wouldn't work in their presence. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself why? And remember, the reason for this power of God in the first place was to vindicate God's word and to change the hearts of the people, to cause them to repent. But if they're not capable of repentance, then why perform the miracles and mighty acts? That would be putting on a show. And do you remember when the angel of the Lord told Brother Bram that he must never make a show out of the gift? You know, the devil tried to get Jesus to show off the power, and he wouldn't do it. The devil said, if you jump, the angels will bear thee up, quoting scripture. And Jesus replied, depart from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now notice, Jesus kept going back to the word himself for his defense. And if he had to, what about you and me? Where's our defense? It's in this word. So we see that the unbelief of the people prevented them from seeing the mighty works of God. God will never exercise his power just to impress someone. He is not a respecter of persons. He exercises his power for one reason, and that is to vindicate his word, which is to change the hearts of the people. So what about Abraham? Because Brother Brown said, what about you? What about Abraham? Well, God said to Abraham, start walking. Now, Abraham didn't stop and say, well, where do you want me to go, Lord? He just obeyed God and started walking. So don't worry about it. Just start walking. He was ready to burn every bridge at God's command. Even his own son, he was willing to offer back to God, not only his blood, but his ashes too. And what about Peter? In John 21, verse 15, we read, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Well, then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, we're learning from Brother Branham tonight. He said, What about you? Now, not you looking at your wife and saying, Well, what about her? What about you? Not you looking at your husband and saying, What about him? What about you? You see, the question goes out, What about you? He said to Peter, Get your eyes off of John and follow thou me. It's not about him, it's about me. Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus saith unto him that he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? It's like Brother Branham said of Joseph Branham. He said, that my desire is that he be a prophet. Laid his hands on him and said, I pray, Lord, that you give him a double portion. Now, does it mean because Brother Branham asked for a double portion that Joseph Branham is going to have a double portion? Absolutely not. Does it mean when Jesus said, what if I will that he tarry till I come? And John said, he just said, what if I will? He wasn't saying, I am willing. He wasn't saying, thus saith the Lord. He was just saying, what's it to you if he carries until I come? You see, people get these ideas and they look at a vindicated prophet and they try to make the prophet himself as a man infallible. And therefore, none of the words which he speaks can fall to the ground. Brother Branham gave us thus saith the Lord when the Lord told him to give us thus saith the Lord. If you try to make every word that he says infallible, or every word that Brother Branham said is thus saith the Lord, now you've made him the Lord, because only the Lord could have every word as thus saith the Lord. You understand? Brother Branham was a man, but he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. God gave him the doctrine to give us, which is the message. He gave us to teach that relationship between Father and Son, which we understand because we saw him live it, and now we're living it. And he didn't come to put on a show. He came to show us that as sons of God, there's a special anointing that comes with it. There's a message, and the message is gets to the point where we're getting ready for a resurrection and a rapture. He didn't come so that we would elevate Brother Branham and make him a pope and make him infallible. He's not infallible, but those words, the doctrine, the thus saith the Lord, the Word of God is infallible. In fact, Brother Branham, we read you the quote. He said, I'm not infallible, but the Word of God is. And if we're saying the Word of God, then it's God's Word that's infallible. And if it comes out of our mouth, then those words that come out of your mouth that are God's words are infallible. But not every word you say is infallible. Any husband could look at his wife and know that, and any wife could look at her husband and know they're not infallible. We're just human beings by the grace of God, and we all have our ups and we all have our downs. We all make our mistakes. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2-7, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, now listen to this, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You see that? If a man also strive for masteries, and yet he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. In other words, if you pull deals to get to where you want to get, you might get to where you want to get, but you're not going to be crowned in it. God wouldn't put his hand, God will not crown a ministry that gets there through deceit. You got to come the same provided way that every servant of God, because Paul's the pattern, we see. Romans 15:17. I therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought to me to make the Gentiles obedient by word or deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now, if you have a ministry, another minister that's building up your ministry for you, it ain't going to succeed. Paul's a pattern, and he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now that doesn't mean that you can't be mentored or tutored. But the problem is that if people lift you up because of another minister, it ain't going to work. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It took a vindicated prophet like Paul to manifest Christ the way that it was meant to be manifested in that hour. The same as Brother Brown said in his audio letter to Brother Vail, if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. The church must see it in the present tense. So I ask the question this evening, do you see Jesus Christ alive in your life in the present tense? Not saying, well, you know, 4 years ago he did this. I remember that. What's he doing today? And we know God sent his prophet that he, God, might manifest himself in the present tense. And we see him, we believe it. But we need to be born again in order to have an understanding of the things of God, even if we have seen them manifested openly. In Psalm 103, verse 7, we read, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Do you understand the difference between God making his ways known unto Moses? In other words, his purpose, his motives, his objectives, they were made known to Moses. But simply, though, everybody saw his acts. Moses saw them. You saw them. But God made known his purpose, plan to Moses. Therefore, without receiving the Holy Ghost, we can see the acts of God all day long without even understanding what they mean and what God has purposed in them in doing them. Notice that Paul is speaking of his ministry, and he said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he has not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now we know that Paul's ministry was a pattern of every true ordained minister of God. From the Seven Church Age book we read, Paul founded the church at Ephesus about the middle of the first century. This enables us to set the date of the beginning of the Ephesian church at about 53 AD. His manner of ministering set the pattern for all future messengers were to aspire to, and actually set the pattern for every true minister of God. Though he would not attain to such heights in the prophetic realm as did Paul, Paul's ministry had a threefold quality and was as follows. First of all, Paul was absolutely true to the word. He never deviated from it, no matter what the cost. Galatians 1:8-9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you then what you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 2:11-14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, wherefore before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, Paul required from every minister, Peter no exception. And Peter was the head of the church in Jerusalem. And Paul said, Peter, you're not being honest. You're not being honest. You're being a hypocrite. You're having fellowship with the brethren, but when the legalists come in, he said, all of a sudden you get nervous and you get, why are you nervous about Peter? Either you're following Jesus or you're not following Jesus. 2 Corinthians 14:36-37. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Notice that Paul was unorganized, but spirit-led. As when God moved upon Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, Jerusalem's council never sent Paul out, nor did it have any power or jurisdiction over him. God and God alone did the sending and the leading. Paul was not of men, but of God. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of by man, but by Jesus Christ, the God and Father, who raised him from the dead. Galatians 2:3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In other words, Paul was willing to go nose to nose with those hypocrites. Stand for the truth and call a spade a spade. Secondly, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating the spoken and written word. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5 tells us, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Again, ask, because the question is, and what about you? Are you standing in the wisdom of men, or are you standing in the power of God? Acts 14:8-10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped, and he walked. I was walking out of Rural King the other day, and a man was walking before me, and he had a cane, or kind of one of those things that has 4 feet on the bottom, and he's walking, kind of hobbling as he's walking, but he was praising God. And he was just saying, you know, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. And I turned around and said, do you believe? He said, yes. I said, you want to walk again? He said, yes. I said, let's pray right here. We stood there in the parking lot, and I prayed and asked God to heal the man. Because I'm not afraid of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of salvation unto us. I believe next time I see the man, he'll have no crutch, and God will have given him totally, because I asked him, I said, do you believe God can heal you? He said, yes, he can. And right there, based on his faith, we took it back to Jesus. Acts 20:9-12. And there sat in a window of a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell upon him, and embracing him said, trouble not thyself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Acts 28:7-9. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Again, we see the pattern. 2 Corinthians 2:12 and 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Thirdly, we had the evident fruit of a God-given ministry. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. 1 Corinthians 9 and 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul had been the means of bringing the multitudes of the Gentile sheep. He fed them, he cared for them, until they brought forth righteous fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as part of the Gentile bride. At the time of the giving of the revelation, according to the tradition, Paul already died a martyr. But John was carrying on in his stead exactly as Paul had done in the days of his ministry. From the Smyrnian church age, we read now, thinking not strange that this is the case, for Paul set this pattern under the hand of God. Paul alone had the full revelation for his day, as evidenced by his confrontation of the other apostles who admitted that Paul was the prophet messenger to the Gentiles for that day. And also note by actual illustration in the Word that when Paul desired to go to Asia, God forbade him. For the sheep, his children, were in Macedonia, and they, the Macedonians, would hear what the Spirit had to say through Paul, while the people in Asia would not. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern, and that is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of those who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messenger, and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Now this brings us to our thought today, and that is this. Romans 15:20 says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Notice the pattern. Paul did not take his ministry to where others had laid the groundwork. Paul didn't go back into the same circle of believers that were around Jesus. He went out to others, and he took that out to others. He took his ministry to where the people did not know, and where they had not heard, and were not in the camp that the other apostles had already established. And every true ministry of God must do the same. That does not mean that they must go to the heathen, but they do not have a ministry that someone has done all the groundwork for them, and that they just inherit the church. No, they must establish their own ministry by God taking them to places others have not been taken, and establish it on their own accord as they are led by the Holy Ghost to do, and not because someone else sends them or appoints them. The apostle did not send Paul. God sent him, and that is the pattern. Paul left the camp of the apostles in Jerusalem and was led by the Spirit to go to where he went. Don't try to fix your star to someone else's star. That is not scriptural. You've got to have your own backside of the desert experience before God can ever use you. And now I'd like to continue with what Paul says in chapter 15, verse 21. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now I really like that, because I believe that as many as are ordained to eternal life will believe. That is one thing that they will do. And I believe that that is the evidence of being born again. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Because how can you have the right spirit and not believe? Or a right, even a right heart and not believe? Now, you might not understand at the moment, but you will understand. People are always looking for an evidence for something that they can point to in order to be sure that they're okay with God. People want an evidence, and there's only one true evidence that you have been born again, and that is you have received an ability to understand the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about some great intellect, but I'm talking about the Bible evidence that you have been born again, and that is an ability to see and understand the Word, and it is no longer a mystery to you. Because we just read in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, what man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? So it's impossible. He said, it's impossible for any, the carnal man, the natural man, he can't understand the things of God. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you will. Now Nicodemus came to Jesus by night one time, because he knew somehow that this man Jesus was different from the rest. And he said to Jesus, we know that you're a man sent from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now there are two important things that Jesus says to Nicodemus here. First, he says, unless a man is born again, and number two, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The first thing is that we must understand what it means to be born again, and the second is that what Jesus means by the phrase to see the kingdom of God. Jesus explained to Nicodemus that to be born again is not like the first birth, which is of the flesh, but it's of the Spirit. John 3 and 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answering, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, you've got to have a natural birth and you've got to have a spiritual birth. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, don't try to measure people up by your measure, because you can't do that. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I had a brother write to me and said, you know, you should go to a certain country. And he said, because, you know, they're cooperating with us and they're helping us. And so, you know, you should go there. And I wrote back. I said, brother, I said, don't ever tell another minister what he should do or what he shouldn't do. I said, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you're not led to go, then if you go because somebody else wants you to do it, you're going to end up in a lot of trouble with God. And I said, secondly, I attempted to go there. And God shut it down. The country wouldn't give me my visa, and I even lost money in my air ticket. So I said, don't ever try to put your desires and say that they're God's desires, because God will do what he will do. Now Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how could these things be? Look, Nicodemus was a bright man, but had no clue to the workings of God. You know what? He wasn't born again. He was a scholar, but he wasn't born again. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Notice that Jesus is telling him that those who are born again do testify of the things that they are certain about, and that we do know, and we do understand, and that we can see with spiritual eyes that the others have no clue. And if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? From discerning of the body, Brother Branham said, Jesus said once that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand. In other words, you can't discern the kingdom of God until you're born again. Now, I believe the evidence of being born is when the Word comes alive to you and you receive an ability to understand the Word and to see it unfolding in your day, because you see it unfolding in your own life. John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received him, and the Greek word for received here is lambano, and it means to have experienced or to have taken to oneself. In other words, claim it for your own. And it is these that truly experience him. They are the ones, he says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So these are believers. They believe on his name. And to them he gives power to become sons. Now, the word power that's used here is not the Greek word dunamis, which speaks of great miracle manifesting power, but rather the Greek word exousia, which means the power of choice or the power to make a right decision. For you see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the ways of death. Therefore, if a man is left up to his own choosing, he'll go in the way of death every time. But God has given him, or has given him, an ability to know and to understand, and this ability to make a right decision concerning the acceptance of Christ is not for everyone. In other words, the very purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost is to know the things of God. For Jesus tells Nicodemus, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's talking about the new birth and the importance that the new birth is that God gives him an ability to know and to understand the kingdom of God and what it's all about. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, again we read, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So you can't get them without his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Notice our God had bold, underlined everything else. The very purpose of receiving the Spirit of God is that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. Now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, you've got to be spirit-filled to discern. From why I'm against organized religion, Brother Branson, but if he's born of the same way that I'm born, then you know the things that I know. Amen. Oh my. Yes, sir. You can't tell a knot on a tree how to move about and be active. It would have to receive our kind of life to understand it. Same with the Spirit. The same thing is with the Spirit, or you can't understand it. There's no need of trying to figure it out. Just come to him first. For except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom. He said, that's understanding. You've got to be born again in order to know it. And from contending for the faith, he said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You cannot understand it. It's a mystic, mythical thing until you're born again. There the very life of God comes in you. Everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes in you, and then you're a part of God, you're a son or daughter of God, and then you see as God sees, you believe as God believes, then you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So if you think some man is going to come along and do it for you, forget it. Or some man, you're waiting for some man to come along when the prophet says, we've seen our last sign. Forget it. 1 Peter 1:23, we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, I want you to understand what this is telling us. In John chapter 1, we read that the new birth is being born of God. And now we're told here in 1 Peter that the new birth comes by the word, being born again by the word of God. And yet, does not John 1 and 1 tell us in the beginning was the Word? And then he tells us the Word was God. And did not Jesus tell us in John 6 and 63, my words are spirit and their life? Therefore God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, and God being a spirit, and he is the Word, then that Word must come into the believer, and it is that Word which quickens the soul of the believer to the Word of God, and thus to God himself, for he is the Word. And being that God is the Word, and he is the Spirit, then when the Word comes alive in the believer, it is actually the life of God in the believer that's coming alive. And when you are quickened to the Word, that Word comes alive to you, and you see it, and you know it, and you understand it, and what it's all about. In Isaiah 44 and 18 we read, they have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burnt part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of the tree? In other words, they just have no clue what they're saying. Now we find Jesus speaking of this in the following scripture, Matthew 13:10. The disciples that came and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing they shall hear and not understand, and seeing they shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you have seen, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So the question is, you see them, but what about you? In other words, do you see the acts, or do you see the ways? Do you understand the ways? In the message, Key to the Door, Brother Branham is speaking of John 16:7. He says, now when he went away, he said, it's expedient for me to go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Ghost will not come. See? Then when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and teach righteousness and show you things to come. That's visions. He'll take the things that I've taught to you and reveal them to you. The very words that he's come. No man can understand the word outside the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when a man says he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the word being right, there's something wrong. Find Ephesians 1:15, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, Paul said, look, you've got the faith, you've got the love, now there's one thing left, and that's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I'm waiting for that to come. From calling on Abraham, Brother Branham said, that's the way when God says so. See, a Christian does not calculate or does not look at things he sees. You don't see with your eyes anyhow. You don't. Certainly you don't see with your eyes. You look with your eyes. You see with your heart. See? See doesn't mean to look. See means to understand. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See what the right translation of that is, cannot understand the kingdom of God. Somebody's doing something, showing you, well, I just can't see it. You're looking at it, but you don't understand it. And you'll never know the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is, until you're born again. Then you'll understand what it is. You'll know what makes people happy, what makes them stand right out in the midst of difficulty and say, it's so. Never move. They understand, because God says so. From Mark 4:10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So it's no mystery that God reveals to some he doesn't reveal to others. You see, identified masterpiece. How can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit that wrote the word and the man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and deny the word? How can the Holy Spirit in you deny its own word that was set forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the word. And if your spirit in you won't punctuate every one of God's promises with an amen, there's something wrong. Again, from the book of Exodus, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. There's no way of understanding it until you're born again. And then God reveals himself to you. And then you know that you've passed from death unto life, because no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. See, the only way that you'll ever know that Jesus is the Christ is when the Holy Spirit personally witnesses to you that he is the resurrected Lord Jesus. No matter how he would do it, what kind of signs, what kind of miracles, you'll never know it until your personal experience with God. You say, well, I believe it because the Bible says so. Well, that's good. The Bible is true. It knows it. Well, the preacher says so, perhaps he knows it. Mother says so, well, she knows it, but what do you know about it? You'll never know it until it's revealed to you individually by the Holy Spirit, and then by accepting it, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, born a second time. Again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, Paul is saying what Brother Branham was saying, the same thing, is that you can say it, but it doesn't mean nothing. Because you're only saying what somebody else taught you, what somebody else said to you. But when you can say it because you've experienced it, then you can truly and honestly say it. For Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but shall not come abroad. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, that understands, shall more be given. And he that hath, to him shall be given. That he that echoes, to him shall be given. And he that echoes not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks he's echoing. Because he's just quoting. And from when divine love is projected, Brother Brown said, then do you understand that the reason that people said this was not inspired or that is not inspired and this is for another day is because they have never become in contact. Oh, no matter how many degrees they can show, that has nothing to do with it. But they have never become in contact with God to be born again. Oh, they may have jumped. They may have did this. They may be a PhD. They may have spoken in tongues. They may have danced in the Spirit, but Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. For where the Spirit of God is, there is love, there's understanding, there's something that you like to be around. And oh, what a pity in this hour that we live that the Church of the Living God hasn't met this yet. For if God dwells richly in our hearts, denominational barriers would never separate us. Color lines or nothing else would ever separate us. For there is nothing present, nothing future, no matter whether starvation or what it is, can separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus. And from the message, Shalom, said, people with a carnal mind will never know it. Seminaries don't teach it. It's a revelation, certainly. Fruits of the Spirit drops off there, doesn't it? Then priests had 10 times the fruits of the Spirit. How would you know that what's right? The manifestation of the spoken word of God being made manifest, light of the hour, certainly. There is what the evidence of the Holy Spirit is, believing the Word of God when it's manifested. He was the Word manifested, and some of them denied it, laughed at it, made fun of it, and called him a fortune teller, something evil, some evil spirit. There is evidence, speaking in tongues, there is evidence of the fruits. The only evidence that there is when a man believeth the written Word, when it's vindicated, walks in the light of it. Jesus was the light of the hour because he was the promised word of the hour and tried to tell them so, but they were too much in darkness to understand it, so is it today, now. In other words, look what he's saying here, because there's a lot of people that think that because they got a mental understanding of the message that they're born again. But Brother Brown says, the manifestation of the spoken word of God being made manifest, light of the hour, certainly, there is what the evidence of the Holy Spirit is, believing the word of God when it is manifest. Manifested where? Manifested in you. From questions and answers, COD said the same thing repeats. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. When God reveals to you and you see it, thus saith the Lord, and accept it, not what you are, not what you was, or nothing about it. It's what God has done for you now. There's the evidence. Jesus said, he gives the evidence of the Holy Ghost, John 14. He said, I have many things to tell you. I haven't got time to do it. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he will tell you, bring to your memory the things that I told you about, and will also show you things that is to come. Don't you see? There is the evidence. And from Christ is the mystery, said the new birth is Christ. It is a revelation. And remember, the word revelation means manifestation of divine truth. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed it to you, this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony, and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest? What's that? John 14, 12. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when they know what it is. So the question we leave tonight is what about you? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us that question, what about you? That we might examine our soul, examine our relationship, examine our daily walk, examine whether we be in the faith, examine whether the Spirit that raised up Jesus is living in us, quickening our mortal bodies to his word. What about us? Father, we just pray that that same anointing that lived itself out in your Son will live itself out in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.